coming up on this episode of the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise podcast.
Yes, and that's what we have. It will come down some. It varies how much it comes down, but usually it'll be a little lower most of the time.
But is that realistic? Is that the accurate? Real issue?
Welcome to the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise podcast with Dr. William T. Choctaw, MD, JD, where the doctor helps you unlock your full potential by equipping you with tools and knowledge in the areas of health, wealth, and wisdom, anchored in his experience as a business executive, a physician surveyor for the Joint Commission, a former mayor, and over 50 years of experience as a general surgeon. You've got questions, he's got answers. So let's get started. Here's Dr. William T. Choctaw, MD, JD.
Are there any questions? So what you're saying is, you know, Dr. Choctaw, you're talking about high blood pressure. What about low blood pressure? Okay. Normally, the belief is that the normal for the body normal diastolic is 80. As long as it's above 60, and I'm speaking generally now, everybody's a little different. It should not be a major problem. If it goes below that, then certainly you want to, go to the emergency room or call 911 or something like that. But normally it should not be low. But that's a good question. Thank you for reminding me. Yes, sir.
Which one is more riskier, to have the diastolic or the top or the bottom?
That's an excellent question. And I'll tell you why. Years ago, 40, 50 years ago, we used to only concentrate on the diastolic. You know, the doctors said, well, you know, that top number is high, but that's okay. It's that lower number that we're concerned about. Now that's changed. And so both are considered dangerous. But that's contributed to some of the confusion. Because 30 or 40 years ago, doctors would say, yeah, your systolic is 150, but your diastolic is 92. So we're okay. You don't need to be on medication. Now that's completely flipped. Now we treat both equally. That we don't want either one to be elevated. Now, I should parenthetically add, every doctor doesn't agree with that. There's still some doctors that say, no, I don't think you need to chase both of them. But most of the literature suggests that to decrease stroke, heart attack, that you want to treat both numbers.
One more question, Doctor.
Yeah.
What's the relationship between the high blood pressure and plaque?
And plaque?
Uh-huh,
yeah. Oh, excellent, excellent. Thank you. The damage that blood pressure does is that when that blood comes out of the heart, systole, heart pushes it out, it comes out through the aorta and it hits all those different arteries. As it comes out at a high pressure, it damages the internal wall of the artery. And so the wall ends up getting more and more narrow. You know, there are plaques that are laid there. This has to do with the cholesterol that adds into that. So it gets more and more narrow. And as that wall of the blood pressure gets more and more narrow, that puts more pressure on the heart. The heart has to work harder now to get the same amount of blood pressure to you. So it does damage to the blood vessels. And a good way is to look at the blood vessels as canals that carry the blood. But if it comes out very hot, it's hitting that wall. And this is every second. You know, your heart is beating 24/7. So just think about that. If you're 50 years old, think about how often that's happening. And pretty soon that wall begins to show the effects of that damage. So you want to lower that blood pressure. Plus, you don't want that heart to work any more than it has to. It may be great up to 50 years, but what about 60 years? What about 70 years? The average life expectancy is about, I think in this country, is about, for men, it's probably about 71 years. For women, it's higher, probably because they go and have their blood pressure checked at the doctor's office more often than we men do. But that's why it damages the wall. That's what the pressure does.
And one last question. You were mentioning about resting, put in that mode, like non-husband-wife mode. In resting position before taking,
yes.
Measuring your pressure.
Yes, yes, yes.
But if I do that, I mean, wouldn't be able to also to, if it's high, not high, but let's say if 125.
Okay.
If I rest, I'm going to bring it down. because I'm resting. I'm very...
Yes, and that's what we have. It will come down some. Now, it varies how much it comes down, but usually it'll be a little lower most of the time.
Yeah. But is that realistic? Is that, I mean, is that the accurate? Real vocation?
Yes, it is. Yes, no, I understand your question. Yeah, it's just as accurate as it was before you rested. Because, and that's the whole point. If you're in control, you can make that a certain way as often as you like. Right. So part of it is sort of training yourself to get it at that lower level. But first, you got to know what that level is. You see what I'm saying? So let's say you're sitting, it's 130 over 80. You stand, it's 125 over 80. You say, okay, all right. So now I want to get that 125 when I'm sitting. So it's things for you to work on. And it may vary the different time of day. So you might want to take the blood pressure in the morning. You might want to take it in the evening. Record it, because that's the only way that's the only way you can know what it is at different times. And that's a good thing to know. Maybe let's say you take your blood pressure every single day, twice a day, and you notice a pattern after a couple of weeks. You notice on Wednesday in the evening your blood pressure is always high consistently. And so you say, well, why is that? What am I doing on Wednesday in the evening? And you may be able to track back to an event that occurs. Maybe somebody comes to visit you. Maybe, I don't know. But so then you can control your environment and say, okay, I'm not going to do X on Wednesday, whatever. So that's the other reason for doing it at different times. Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
To be rushing and yes. Get there late.
Yes.
Because when you get there late and then as soon as you sit, then get a nurse call you in.
Exactly.
The first
right.
thing they're going to do is have you wait and then do your blood pressure. And your blood pressure will be high.
Right.
It should be rushing. So we should try to make sure we come in plenty.
But we are going to be late. I hate being late, but I am late sometimes. I am. I always try to be early so that I'm never late. And most times that works, but it doesn't always work. But you can say to the nurse, this is what I do. Well, you know, I was rushing. I couldn't find a parking spot and there was a long line and this and that. I don't know how that works, but I do it anyway. But just work on that, you know, and now that you know that that's an issue, then look at ways that you can mitigate that. If they give me a 1 o'clock appointment, I try to be there at 12:30. Just me. Cause I know something's going to happen that I can't control. Because I don't know what it is yet. And more likely than not, that'll get me there at 1 o'clock on time. Not always, but it increases my yield. So I would sort of do that because that I can control. I can't control all this other stuff that might happen. You know, somebody cuts me off on the freeway or whatever. But I try to manage those things. But those are realities. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. But when people get their arteries clogged up, mm-hmm. like, my brother-in-law,
okay.
He had three of his arteries was clogged up. Mm-hmm. He had to have a triple bypass surgery. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that have anything to do with high blood pressure.
Oh, absolutely. And what she's talking about is a heart attack to some extent. Because as I'm talking about those blood vessels where the heart is pushing and it's going out throughout the body, the heart also has blood vessels on it. As it pushes the blood out, it's supplying itself. Heart's just a muscle. With blood vessels, you know, the LAD, you know, the right vessels, etc. And those are tiny blood vessels. If they get clogged or whatever, then you have a heart attack. Because if the heart can't get blood to its own muscle, it dies, it weakens, it's not as efficient. Some call that heart failure. Heart failure is where the heart is pumping, but it's not getting the blood out as well as it should. And usually we have medication many times to try to help the heart with that. So no, that's extremely important because that's probably even more serious because those blood vessels are so small, the margin for error is very, very low. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Like you mentioned earlier about computers,
mm-hmm.
How much faith do you put in a computer answering question of your feelings are
that is an excellent question because it's right in keeping with 2024, AI, whatever. And I you know, I'm 76 years old. All right, so I can tell you, I've come from the black and white TV and the rotary phones and all that sort of stuff. My approach is I don't pretty much trust anything 100%. But I believe that the computer is not going anywhere. This phone really does help me, you know, to do what I need to do. So I take it, I use it, but I take it with a grain of salt. To put it another way, Ronald Reagan once said, trust but verify. So I'll look it up on the computer, but I'll use a different source. You know, I may ask a professional and say, you know, Dr. So-and-so, what do you think? I looked it up on the Mayo Clinic website. What's been your experience? I verify, you know. So I still do it, but I verify. But I think it's reasonably accurate. It's not perfect. It's not perfect. So the other thing I do is I'll look it up under more than one source, you know. So I may look up two different sources on the computer. And if two or three sources tell me the same thing, then I'm more likely to trust it. But I think healthy skepticism is good. I think it's good to always be a little skeptical because people will try to tell you anything and you don't want to believe that.
Under, say, the Mayo Clinic.
Yes, yes,
so
yes.
You kind of feel more confidence in them than, say, you just go online and anybody.
Yes, and that's another great point. That's why I gave you names to look up, because those are names that I use. Okay, so I've already done some of that betting. So I'm comfortable if I look at Yale Health or Kaiser Permanente or Mayo Clinic or Harvard Health, because I've been doing that for years. When I do these presentations, every day I get literature from all of them, you know, magazines, usually for physicians. And so I read that every single day, and then I come up with what topic I'm going to talk about. So I use them as a resource, but yeah. No, I definitely would suggest it.
We have any questions online?
Oh, hello. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
I just got here. Were you guys talking about the anxiety today or the high blood pressure today?
We were talking about high blood pressure. Anxiety is next month. But okay. Watch the church website, because some podcasts are coming out on anxiety even before the master class next month.
Okay, so I do have a question. I've been taking high blood pressure medicine for about 6 years.
Okay.
And then my husband went to the doctor a couple of weeks ago, and they're like, oh, your home machine is like reading 20 points higher than it should be. So I was wondering, should I approach my doctor and see, do I still need to be on this medication or not?
Well, let me ask you a question. How old is your machine? Is it accurate, up to date?
Well, he got a new one now. So the other one, I'm not sure how old it was, but when he took it into Kaiser and they compared it to what they had, they said that it's reading wrong.
Okay, so they said that your machine was reading wrong.
Yes.
Okay, actually, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. So, because you can get rid of the machine. Good. So what I would recommend, check the blood pressure different times of day, you know, but and record it, because what you want to know is there a certain pattern, and that's how you validate the accuracy of the blood pressure when you check it at home. Check it different times of day and different days of the week.
Okay.
And the other thing is, when you go back to see your doctor, take your blood pressure cup with you. When they check your blood pressure, have them to check your blood pressure with your cuff to make sure it's the same that as the reading that you get when you go.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. You're very welcome. Any other questions? Okay. It is, a little over. Thank you all very much. Pastor Rivas, would you close us with a word of prayer, please?
Father, thank you for this day you've given us, Lord God. This is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for the information, for the knowledge that you have given us, Lord God, through Dr. Chaktow. I just ask, Lord God, to keep him and his family safe wherever he is, wherever he goes, that his exiting and his entering, oh Father, be a bless to himself and to the family and to all the people who are around him. As a matter of fact, also bless every family that he's represented presentially, oh Lord God, and those who are virtually. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we praise you. Amen and amen.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise podcast with Dr. William T. Choctaw, MD, JD. Be sure to check out other great episodes covering areas of health, wealth, and wisdom at thwwp.com. And while you're there, be sure to check out the books, blogs, and other literature in your preferred format. And don't forget to leave a review, subscribe, share, and support the podcast. That's at thwwp.com. You've been listening to the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise podcast with Dr. William T. Choctaw, MD, JD.